Following is an unrehearsed interview with Mr. Arley McKinney by Debbie Wilson for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at the Middlesboro Bell County Library on June the 26, 1978 at 3 o'clock p.m. The first thing we want to start with, Mr. McKinney, is just your full name.
Arley McKinney, Arley McFarland McKinney.
Well now, when were you born?
I was born June the 22nd, 1908.
Where at?
Middlesboro, Kentucky.
Well now, who are you married to?
Edna Mae Jones.
How many children do you have?
We have two boys.
Well now, what was your former occupation? Your occupation?
Teacher, coach.
Okay, where did you get your education in?
Tuskegee Institute, Tuskegee, Alabama.
How many years were you down there?
I was down there. We had a peculiar sit-up there. We had 4 years high school and 4 years college. I finished college and high school at Tuskegee.
So you were down there in 8 years?
8 years.
Well now, how would you compare that area in the South to Middlesboro?
Well, I'm sorry to say, but that particular area is far ahead of Middlesboro because the school systems are in advance and everything's up to par.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing a mighty good job in vocational education for a long time. We're just now trying to get vocational education.
How would you compare the black situation in, say, Alabama with Middlesboro?
Well, now that's a question that we don't understand. The blacks that have a hard time in that particular country leave, and the blacks are successful, stay there, and they're doing fine. That's where you find the blacks with all the money.
In the South.
In the South.
That distorts my illusions, I guess. Okay, have you ever been to any other areas in the country that, you know, that you could compare the black situation with?
Tuskegee played what was known as Southern Conference. We played all the schools in the South plus Southwest. That carried us out as far as Tyler, Texas. And we had intersectional games every year, carried us to Chicago and Philadelphia. And at that time, Tuskegee, in 1930-34, Tuskegee was a powerhouse. And we won the national championship 2 years.
What sport is this now?
Football. Football. I wasn't agile enough to play tennis.
Was that the only other sport they had? Football and tennis?
We ranked high, tennis, basketball, and they had a very good swimming team at that particular time. Of course, you don't see many swimming pools around this part of the country that have active competition in swimming.
Okay, now I understand that you taught for a number of years at this Lincoln High School here in Middlesboro?
That's right. I started teaching in 1934 to 63.
Well, was this an all-black school?
All-black school.
Well, just, do you know any of the history of this school? I understand that it's
well,
now closed.
The President Lincoln School was built in 19 and some say 8. That's close enough. But the original school was what we call across the bridge from the present site of Lincoln. Old wooden building over there. We had a few, the last lady to graduate from there died this fall, Miss Ethel May Combs. And the school was, first principal was George W. Bell. And they had a vocational teacher by name James Brown. And they did a wonderful job over there. They helped build the present, the last Amy Zion church that they tore down a few years ago and moved it to Ironwood Road.
Well, now, who started the school exactly? Was it?
Well, the Middlesbrough Board of Education, but he was, George Bell was first principal. And after he built a new building, well, he come across the creek to the old Middlesbrough Colored School, that was the name of it, and then later on they changed to Lincoln School.
Well, now, why did they start this school? Did they not want black children in with the white children? Was that the situation?
Well, that was the law of Kentucky at that particular time, 1908.
Well, now, what was the reaction of the local people? Do you have any idea? Have you ever heard any?
Well, stories? It was just customary, and they didn't react too bad. And when integration come to Middlesbrough, well, it went all very nice, just like another day of school.
So there was no big buzzing problems
big,
or
no
anything?
No big fuss, no big fuss.
Well, now, what did you do at the school besides coach? You were a teacher also, is that correct?
Of history.
Well, now, what about your coaching career? I understand that it was quite successful.
Well, now, the coaching career was the most enjoyable part of my life. If I had to do it over, I'd do it again, because we had awful good talent here, and the boys were just going to waste. And we come in a good time, 1934, and it was awful hard to get cooperation from the Board of Education. They didn't see fit to furnish equipment for two teams, and so we had to take the seconds from the white team and do the best we could.
Now this was football again.
Football. And later on we managed to get a gym to build up basketball. And I think we did mighty well in football and basketball.
Well, did you win any championships?
Oh yeah, we were champions for the first 3 years, 1934, 35, 36. We were champions, and off and on from thereafter. One but one team in the conference able to beat us, and that was Lynch. Lynch would win 1 year and we'd win the other.
Now, were you ever state champions? I don't know that much about football.
At that particular time, it was always a doubt whether Lincoln was the champions or a school in Louisville Central High or a school in Danville, Bate High. We never could get together to play the championship. All transportation was a little hard at that particular time. But it was always a doubt who had the best team. Of course, you know, I thought we had the best team.
But you were always up in the top.
That's right.
Well, now, have you had any famous players to come out of Lincoln?
Well, some of the famous players, I'd like to read off a little list here of the first few years. The first few years were boys like that thing's still running. Can you stop it? These were the boys the first year, 34 to 38, during that time. His nickname Snook Spriggs, but his name is Eugene Spriggs, James Sneed Hodge, Richard Williams, Stanley Williams, Raymond Young, Alvin Hurrell, Chen Johnson, William Nichols, Charles Bummer Taylor was an awful good player. Richard Williams, awful good player. Well, all the Williams boys was an outstanding player. One of the best boys ever put on a suit was Bill Moore. Awful good player. Robert Banks, good player. Tommy Blackman, run like a freight train. Now, we had some awful good boys in later years, and we don't want to leave out a boy by the name of William Arthur Walls. He left Lincoln School and went to Tuskegee and became a doctor of agriculture. And he's doing well there now. We had another boy that played on the team by the name of Benjamin Shope, the present judge of Jefferson County in Louisville today. The Benjamin Shope that you hear about in Louisville played on my team as a guard. Very good boy. Now, in later years, we had such players as William Blackman, Jeff Blackman, Robert Harrell, and Vincent Costner, and boys of that nature. Harry Johnson and Alfred Johnson, deceased, were awful good players. And later on, we went into basketball and excelled basketball. Incidentally, basketball got so hot in Lincoln that caused the present judge, Willie Hendrickson, to have his ulcers that he's suffering with now. He wasn't used to playing black boys. We just went in and filled the gym up and started hammering on him. And Willie and I became awful good friends. Now, we played a better brand of ball than the people gave us credit for playing. They appreciate it now. But now, so far as football, Lincoln revolutionized football at that particular time. They had the double wing and the single wing going good. No different from the present T formation that they're using today, only my center, my quarterback was facing my back rather than facing the center at that particular time. All I would have to do to present day is just turn my quarterback around, and he'd be the present tee that they're using today. And the shotgun that everybody's going crazy about, well, we played that 40 years ago. That was my punt formation. And I wouldn't think about going on the field without three or four formations.
But you mentioned this list of players now. I'm not that familiar with football players, so did any of your players go on and make college players or professional players?
I left out one boy that went to Kentucky State and made All-American, Warren George. Bummy Taylor went to Kentucky State and made an outstanding player. And incidentally, we have two players that are bad sick today. We hope will recover. That's Douglas Williams and Stanley Williams. We lost one of our players a year ago, Richard Williams. Back about day, one of the best players that we ever had to attend Lincoln in the later years.
Now, just when did Lincoln close?
They mixed up in 63, and the boys, all the boys that went to the Yellow Jackets team, that's the White High School, made the team and outstanding players. Bertie Page, the Page boy that had an accident. Greg Page, he's a product of Lincoln, and Greg had bad luck, got hurt at Kentucky, University of Kentucky, and somehow or another he couldn't make it. Yeah. And Birch Page was one of the best players Jackets put out. Eugene Williams. He's a good player, brother to Hammer Williams. Played on the present team at the Jackets. In fact about it, Middlesbrough's just been a good place for athletes to grow up. They all take great delight in playing hard. And we had some outstanding basketball, such as Robert Harrell, John Spriggs, Marcus Ferguson, and another outstanding football and basketball player, Howard Spriggs, and James Spriggs and Robert Spriggs, all those Spriggs boys, good athletes. Now, so far as relations concerned at Lincoln School, I think we had always had some of the very best relations that we could have anywhere. Back by, we played all up and down southeastern Kentucky, and very few incidents that ever happened that we couldn't take care of right on the spot.
You're referring to relations with other schools,
other
white schools?
Any school, white and black. In fact, about until the integration come about, we had so many schools to contend with. All these little towns had some kind of little schools, and they had some kind of little teams, and you had them to contend with. The only difference that they didn't have the tight rules and regulation now that we then we have now, and the boy can play as long as he's able.
No matter how old he got?
Doesn't make no difference how old.
How old did your players get?
I always played young boy. My boy stayed young.
Oh, I see. You mentioned the Yellow Jackets a while ago. Now, what high school is this?
That's the Middlesbrough White School, as you want to call it.
Is that the Bell County High School
no,
now? That's
Middlesbrough.
Oh, Middlesbrough and Bell County have a...
Middlesbrough has a Middlesbrough Independent School, you better put
oh,
Middlesbrough
I see.
Independent. Now, Bell County, that's the county school. We have two districts.
Oh, yeah.
Three districts. We have Bell County, Pineville, or four. Pineville, Lone Jack, and Middlesbrough Independent in Middlesbrough.
So you have four high schools in Bell County, is that? Oh, I see. Well, now,
thing running again.
I was wanting to ask you about what have been the changes, you know, over the years in education for teachers. Now, you went to Tuskegee for 4 years.
Well,
how has it changed over the years, the requirements for teaching?
Well, now, I happened to be lucky enough to get my BS before I started teaching. But now, I think they require all the teachers to have some kind of degree before they start. Once upon a time you could start with, I think, 2 years college or something, but I don't think that's any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I had my bachelor's science degree when I started coaching. And after that I got a few hours on that. And of course now the better prepared you are, the better grade, a better salary you make, and everybody's trying to get just a little above a master's degree now, which is awful good.
Well, now, Mr. McKinney, just tell me, I mean, about schools in the earlier years of 30s here in Middlesbrough.
Schools in the early years were, they were awful good spirit in a way of speaking, on one reason, because they didn't know any better. They just thought what they had was all right and appreciated it more than they do now. Every time they snows now, they have to turn out of school. But back in those days, the deeper the snow, the better we liked it.
What'd you do is get out and walk in
walk,
the school?
We walked. We didn't know nothing about no buses. And in a way it's all right, and another way it's not. That's the old time way of thinking. But the children don't appreciate school like they did. They very seldom you see a child striving not miss a day. Very seldom you see a child with a perfect report card. Very seldom. And one thing that we should do is to stress a little more on arithmetic, writing, and spelling. When I was early days of school, didn't hear of a boy that couldn't write. Didn't hear of a boy that couldn't count pretty good. Now they're crying about they can't count. They can't.
Can't read.
Can't read. And I don't think that should be.
Well, what do you think's happened?
Well, too many parents are teaching rather than trying to, at school, rather than teaching the child at home.
You mean people taught their children at home?
More than years ago. Mm-hmm. And they expect the teacher to teach at school. Now they want to teach it at school and let the child do as it please at home.
Well, now, can you think of any other changes in education over the period of years that you've been with public education?
Well, we have so much more to work with now than we used to. That is to our advantage. And when we wake up and get these industrial schools going, a boy can work with his hands as well as his mind. It's going to be much better.
Now, was this the situation at Tuskegee?
Oh, yeah. Everybody had to learn some trade at Tuskegee.
Well, now, what was your trade?
Machinist.
But did you ever practice that? Or
I worked some. I worked some in Birmingham, at Birmingham Southern Machine Shop. But I come to Middlesbrough, and my parents were sick, and I had to stay around them pretty close to kind of halfway take care of them, and I stayed here and didn't get a chance to work on the trade like I should, but I enjoyed coaching so much and helping the youngsters get started, which was a great contribution, I think. So many boys that stayed in school wouldn't have. And I don't think I've ever found a boy that went through Lincoln that wouldn't work.
How did you come to get to go to Tuskegee?
Well, my sister encouraged me to go. If it hadn't been for her, I guess I'd been running around these alleys just like the rest of them.
Well, was it a difficult process to get in?
Well, not if you wanted to go. Of course, you know, anything's difficult if you don't want to do it. You can make it appear difficult if you want to, don't want to do it. But Tuskegee was a booming school at that particular time, but they're putting more stress on more professional ideas this day and time than they did that day and time. We had a big farm going and a lot of industrial plants going at that time that we don't have now. We made our own electricity, produced our own food, but now they're kind of getting away from that and trying to buy it.
Now, is Tuskegee all black or what?
Not now. It's just like all other schools. Some trying to come in and get a piece of the rock.
Well, now, can you think of anything else that you'd like to mention about the history of Lincoln High School or about the football teams that you've been associated with?
Well, we think that Lincoln produced some of the best black athletes in this part of the country. And all of them had great pride, and they were much easier to coach at that particular time than they are now. Every boy took great pride in working hard. Boys this day and time, they want to run 10 or 12 yards, but they don't want to sacrifice and prepare themselves to run 10 or 12 yards. And back a few years ago, coaching was a great delight, but not the enjoyment that it used to be. Too much parent interference.
Well, now, what were some of the other black schools in southeastern Kentucky?
Some of the other black schools at that particular time, as we had in Atlanta, we have nothing but schools. Atlanta University, Morehouse College, Spelman University, Clark University, all right there in Atlanta. Talladega College in Talladega, Alabama. Alabama State. Prairie View College, Prairie View, Texas. Southern University in Louisiana. Southern University in Houston. Just a number of black schools. Well, we have Howard University in Washington, D.C. We have Hampton Institute in Hampton, Virginia. We have Kentucky State here. Kentucky State, which is about to get out of hands for some reason. I don't know why. Don't know why that don't want to let Kentucky State run like it used to, but somehow or another. We have most all of the southern states have some kind of state school. That's quite a bit of the money is donated for the state, but they claim it's too expensive to operate two state schools, which I can see that, but where you have a black all black school, you get quite a bit of black heritage, black culture, and you just don't get it anywhere else.
Well, now, what about high schools, the black high schools in southeastern Kentucky? Did those go out?
There are very few black high schools as such. But just in the larger cities, you've got that same old problem, predominantly this and predominantly that.
Well, what about in the early years now? Were there a number of black high schools?
Oh, yeah. In the early years, you had some of the large cities with predominantly large black schools. For an example, that was Central High there in Louisville. It used to be an outstanding basketball powerhouse. You never hear of Central no more much since they had this boundary outfit working on it. All right, Dunbar High School, they've done away with Dunbar. Calling it Tate Springs or something.
Tate's Creek.
Tate Creek.
There is Tate's Creek High School in Lexington.
And there used to be the old I was mentioning Lexington Dunbar, didn't it? Well, now in Birmingham used to have a large school you could hear of. Pearl High used to have a big school in Nashville. And of course now they won't call it Austin High School, they call it Austin East in Knoxville. Used to be an outstanding school. Of course, I don't know, it's a matter of choice. And we have a mighty good representation of some of the old schools yet.
Excuse me just a minute, I'm going to turn the tape over. This is side two of an interview with Mr. Arley McKinney. Now, go ahead, Mr. McKinney, you were speaking of the black high schools.
Well, now, the black high schools, they had their own particular way of doing things. And that was getting to work until chronological age come by, and then things kind of fell by the wayside, but it might be all right and it might not be. You understand what I mean by chronological age? You belong in a certain class at a certain age. But I believe if you're supposed to learn whatever you're supposed to learn, if you, regardless of how old you are. I don't believe in just passing people to be passing them because they're certain age. And that's what's got the schools in such trouble as they are today, is just passing them whether they know or not. Then another thing, I don't think that you should have any favoritism in school. I think regardless of who you are, you should get whatever you're supposed to get. And a job not worth doing well is not worth doing at all.
Are you saying that this is something that has come into the school systems in the last few years?
Passing them on whether to do anything or not. You know good and well, a teacher in an ability all can tell whether a child can read or not. Why have a lawsuit about a child because he can't read? Now, let us go back to some of our football, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
We had what we call Upper Cumberland Valley Conference. And the Upper Cumberland Valley Conference at one time was a large conference. And all these, I mentioned it once before, but I'm going to mention it again, all these little towns had some kind of school that played ball, and they played hard ball. Now, I've often wondered why they play such hard ball in Pima. But Pima play you hard ball, Harlem play you hard ball. Of course, there's no more Benham, but at one time Benham had a good football team. I think Cumberland and Benham consolidated or something. And Hazard played good football. What made it so bad was the transportation. We couldn't get fast transportation like we get today. And when we got to the point that we could make a little money to buy athletic equipment, why, we had to give it all up. In other words, your consolidation or desegregation, whatever you want to call it, come about, and that broke up the predominantly black school. And of course, that part's all right, but we just had great pride in our black schools. And I think I don't ever remember anybody not getting the money's worth when they attended our game. We were quite proud of the games that we played. And that's all right. And this is what I'm proud of. A lot of the boys, like Russell Fry, James Howard McMahon, and boys of that nature went to other schools and produced outstanding teams themselves. And they claim if you can just say one or two boys that the job's well done, well, I don't feel a bit bad, because I have several boys that are doing a good job coaching. This boy that over at Knoxville that runs, so what's that boy's name that runs so at Knoxville?
He's jumpy.
But anyhow, the boy that run and jump so was coached by one of my boys, Russell Fry, from Mississippi. I'm sorry that I can't call his name right now. But anyhow, he went on and finished school, and now he's an instructor at the University of Tennessee. So that means we did a little good. Some are outstanding lawyers in Philadelphia, but Crippens, Nathaniel Crippens, finished right over here at Lincoln School. And so we have a lot of outstanding Lincoln graduates, and when the Lincoln graduates come back every 2 years for a reunion, it's one of the biggest things that happens in Middlesbrough. They really have a grand time, and everybody enjoy it. And they give a scholarship every year, $500, to the outstanding black student at the Middlesbrough High School that stands at the highest grade, highest in his class. And this year they're going to give $1,000. $500 for the first half, and if you do well, give them 500 more. So I think that's pretty good. And we have Lincoln graduates in all walks of life. Some of the best ministers that we have are in graduate from Lincoln. Now, about to forget a very important story. I want you to listen to this very careful, that one of my best football and basketball players is chief mathematician in Washington, D.C., by the name of Robert Morton, that played football and basketball for me, that predicts where these astronauts are going to fall in the ocean. He had 12 mathematicians working under him that works all of this material out where the astronauts are going to fall. And he's a young graduate from Lincoln High School, went to school on a recommendation of Coach McKinney that he could play football. And that's all. Finished Lane College, went to the Army, and got a recommendation to the Army to go to the High School of Mathematics. And they trained him in this field of mathematics to predict where these astronauts fall. And I take great pride in thinking about the boy. And they call him Mr. Morton in Washington, D.C. And I think that's quite a contribution from Lincoln School.
Are there any other distinguished graduates that you can think of, either athletes or non-athletes?
Well, now, we have now this lady here in Middlesbrough, the supervisor of nurses, Wilma Page, graduate of Lincoln School. We have a lot of outstanding teachers that graduate from Lincoln School. The present first grade teacher of Middlesbrough Elementary School, East End, used to be on my track team. Mrs. Delphine Blackburn. She's an outstanding athlete. She was on the track team and pyramid team. And so years ago, we were famous for building pyramids.
And what's a pyramid team?
Now, I'm sorry to brag about this, but the same pyramids that they're trying to make now, we perfected them many years ago, around 1937-38. They were very good. We had an outstanding girls track team. We just didn't play football. And that's the point I'm trying to get to now. We put too much emphasis on football instead of trying to reach all the boys and girls in school. I think it's just important to play one game as it is another. You might not be a good football player, but you might be a good croquet player. and might not be a good croquet player, but you can play tennis. Let's try to develop the whole field of athletics. And that way you don't know what you might find. I don't find many people making as much money as this little fella Connor around Middlesbrough. I don't know nobody can go out there and make $20,000 in the afternoon in Middlesbrough. They might do it, but I don't know of them. And so we snob at the little things and don't take enough interest in something that might be a big thing.
Well, now, was there much disappointment? I mean, you speak so fondly, I guess, of the Lincoln High School and what, you know, its fine record. Was there disappointment when the school was closed, or were people just glad to go home?
Well, now, this is the thing about it. There's something wrong somewhere. We don't hear much of anybody that's graduating from school anymore. I don't know what it is, but in other words, I don't think the pride goes with the Middlesbrough High School it should go. Now, I might be a little man. I might be too little to see it that way. But you have to take pride in any school. You have to strive to do outstanding things. You have to encourage and not just work for the dollar.
Were people excited, though, about the change? I mean,
well, they were then. They're more excited now because the black student is not progressing like he should. He's just in a dominant state, and that's about it.
He made more progress when he was in his own school, is that?
Seemingly. But now that's the wrong attitude to take, but it just seems that way. I guess because Middlesbrough High School is so large, but Middlesbrough High School is not so large that he can't be champion. When Lincoln was over there, it stood at the height of the list. We even won spelling bees. We won track meet. We just didn't play football.
So you would say that then you did have a fine academic program as well?
Fine academic program. We even had writing contests. Best writers. Because I think they're taking writing out of the system and therefore there's not much emphasis put on writing. I don't know whether you ever had that old push-pull, not Palmer method writing. Well, now, I think that's what the schools in Kentucky ought to instigate again, put writing back in school, make it compulsory.
Just a change in setup, a change in curriculum,
yeah.
Well, how many students did you have at Lincoln?
Well, we had all the way from, we might have 250, we might have 300, it's fluctuated up and down. And of course most boys I ever had on the football team around 35-36, but they were good boys. And I could go down in the seventh grade and pick me out a good boy that would put in a senior high school boy's place. In other words, the time he got big enough to carry football, that's what I expected him to carry when he hit Lincoln. In other words, I don't believe in going by size. I believe in the heart. A boy with 120 pounds weight can have a 500 pound heart. Where there's a will, there's a way. And we used to have an old hoop over there we call the Tyson Hoop. Everybody knew that Tarzan hoop, and when we hollered, everybody would stop and look, see what's going on. They thought we was crazy. If they didn't call us crazy, we'd call us the crazy men. Anything to win the game fair.
Now, what was the Tarzan hoop?
That's Tarzan hoop. You heard Tarzan hoop, haven't you?
No, I heard Tarzan, but not Tarzan hoop.
Ain't you never heard him make that call?
Oh, his call. Okay. I know what you're talking about now. Okay. I never called it a hoop before.
Well, we got to have a little fun.
Where did the students from Lincoln come from? Was it strictly Bell County?
All around here. We had them from Middlesbrough, Tazewell, Pineville. We might have had some from London.
Well, was it the only black school in Bell County?
No. Pineville had school. Pineville had school. Barbara had school. And one time London had school. But as the time began to grow, they began to dwindle down.
Well, is there anything else at all? The history of the school or the teams or education in general, anything that you'd like to add?
Well, now, we might say that Middlesbrough's one of the most beautiful cities in state of Kentucky, as it's laid out Old English style, named after Middlesbrough, England. And we have a land company that owns quite a bit of the mountains and so forth around here now, that's headquarters in London, England.
What's the name of this company?
American Association.
Well, now, who settled Middlesbrough? Was it primarily the English?
Primary English. A man by the name of Arthur. William A. Arthur. He's an old English doctor, I think. And he had great hopes of Middlesbrough, and we had everything purely English in the beginning that was very lavish. And I don't know whether you heard the Middlesbrough Hotel or not.
No, I'm not.
The old Middlesbrough Hotel was one of the most outstanding hotels around here. And we had another outstanding building in Harrogate named Seven Gables, I think they called it. It was an outstanding, lavish building. Everything up to date.
Now, is that Harrogate, Tennessee?
That's where LMU was. I think they call it the House of the Seven Seasons or something like that. Now, this Middlesbrough Hotel was really a famous building. It had all kind of decorations in it, an outstanding ballroom, and very outstanding. It got destroyed by fire.
What year was that, or do you remember?
That was many years ago when I was a little boy.
Well, now, what did Middlesbrough need with such a lavish hotel?
Well, at that particular time, they had a... this was a boom town. A lot of people were coming in, and a lot of people had great hopes of Middlesbrough. And we had the Virginia Iron and Co-work going. That's the furnace, commonly known. We had the gun iron works going. And at one time, they tell me they had 5,000 Italians building the canal. This canal that runs through town, it used to be a beautiful thing. It had a solid oak floor in it, just as pretty, running right through the middle of town. Don't look like it now, though, do it?
Well, now, what else do you remember about early Middlesbrough? Any other industries?
Now, I forgot to tell you about the tannery. The tannery is one of the oldest tanneries in this part of the country. And that tannery makes saw the best letter.
It's still in operation?
Still in operation, and it makes leather for the flourishing shoe. And it's very, very high-class leather. Now they have put a annex to it that makes very good leather for leather coats. I would like to have one of those coats. Very, very pretty leather. All colors, all textures. And Middlesbrough is a very unique town if we just appreciate it a little more.
Well, what are some of the other unique qualities about Middlesbrough?
Some of the best coal in the United States.
They still mine here, is that?
Still mines in these mountains. We have a lot of natural resources that we just don't realize.
Well, now, have you ever heard Middlesbrough referred to as the Magic City?
The Magic City, well, that comes from, I think, it's hard to understand and make money so fast and do so many things that the magician can't do. It's just something magic about it.
Now, is that presently or is that in the past?
In the past.
Well, around what time was it? What years or do you remember?
Well, you would have to say around 1925 or somewhere along those years, I guess. A little later, about that time.
Now, how did they settle on this location for Middlesbrough?
Well, at that time, you see, they had a source of iron ore, and the iron ore didn't last as long as they thought it would, and this is about the widest spot in this valley, you see, and they wasn't exactly sure where to put it, you see. We tried to put it over where Swanee is now. We tried to put it up about the junction, and we finally settled here, where it is now.
So it had two previous locations. Now, I've heard stories about the trolley in Middlesbrough. Do you know anything about that?
The trolley, it was a horse-drawn trolley. It used to be pulled by a horse right up Cumming Avenue. And they had the little trolley car, wooden tracks. And they'd pull it right up the avenue.
Did you ever ride the trolley?
No, we never did ride the trolley. And the post office used to be here on Cumming Avenue. It wasn't on 20th Street. It's where it is now, it's the second location. And the city hall used to be, well, the city jail used to be up above where the present jail is now. And, of course, now, this is an artificial lake we have here. The lake is on top of a graveyard. That's really the water taste of the...
Now, what does that have to do with good water? Well, tell me about the boardwalks. Have you ever heard about that?
Well, the boardwalks used to be in Pleasant place of the present sidewalks. That's the way they had to get by.
Well, can you remember when they began to pave the streets and lay the sidewalks?
Some of them, I think. They need a lot of paving done now, and that ought to be a project for Middlesbrough to take soon, because on the outline streets, you don't have no sidewalks even today.
Well, when did they begin paving? Around what year? Do you have any idea?
No.
Well, was Middlesbrough more or less a mud hole before that? I mean, was there a big problem with mud and dust?
That hadn't been a long time ago. That hadn't been a long time ago since it was a mud hole. You couldn't hardly pull a two-horse wagon down Cumming Avenue.
Well, now, what about, you mentioned wagons now. You were just a young boy and they still had wagons in town?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the first automobile
you saw here in Middlesboro?
About what year did the automobile come to Middlesboro?
Well, I imagine around 1912 or somewhere along there. Maybe a little later than that.
What about electricity?
Well, electricity, I'm afraid to say, but I can remember when my dad didn't want it put in my house because he's afraid that it might blow up or something. It hadn't been too long. I remember oil lamps quite frequently. I remember when they used to have oil lamps in the churches.
Well, how did electricity change your life? I mean, if the lights go off now, I panic. So, I mean, did it have a great effect on people?
I think so. What
did it do? I mean, can you think of any specific changes?
It just made everybody a little more comfortable, a little more apt to certain things, such as electric refrigerators and electric accessories.
Can you remember the time when there were saloons in Middlesboro?
Oh, yeah, very much. Very much. And it was kind of, you know, exciting to walk down the street when some would start to get on the Saturday night, if you want to call it that. It was kind of, you know, exciting period when people began to shoot and act kind of funny.
Was violence a big problem?
Well, in a way, you might say a different kind of violence than that they have now. But I imagine more people got killed, I'm quite sure.
Excuse me, Mr. McKinney, we're going to have to stop now, but I would like to talk to you some more later. Would that be all right?
That'll be fine.
Okay, thank you.
Fine.